Righty, good morning, everybody. It's Friday. Plans for the weekend?
So many.
Oh, yeah. No. Busy weekend. Sims?
Oh, no.
You had last weekend off of mum duty, right?
Yeah, how did that go?
Did you enjoy that?
Very nice. I was just at home with myself.
That's great. TV shows, movies?
Anything no.
Anything worth reporting back on?
No, there's a new series that I'm trying to get into. It's called The Studio. And yeah, it's not. I'm not enjoying it. Marv thinks it's really great. He says it picks up in episode 3. But
I hate when people tell you that. They're like, "Oh, it gets so much better by episode 9." Yeah. You're like, "But episode 9 is 2 from the end."
Yeah, like I'm watching episode 1 now, and right now
season
2's bored.
The best.
All right.
So yeah, that's the only thing I'm trying to get into. But other than that, I'm relaxing. I'm chilling. I'm not trying to spend no money. I'm not trying.
Yeah, that is quite a good philosophy.
Yeah, I won't so I'm criticize. Being
home. I'm waiting for that Mobland series to come out. I'm so
it's
excited.
Done.
About it.
I've watched it. It's amazing.
Did you watch it through?
Yes, 1 to 10. Season 1 is done.
Yeah, I know, but like it only gets onto DSTV.
Oh.
No, I have it for you. Don't worry.
Shame Ben still waits for scheduled TV.
Guys, you can't
says the guy who pays his TV license. All right, so
I got you, Ben. I got you.
So all right, I don't know if it's just me, but I've noticed people have complete lack of spatial awareness. I don't know what happens. Maybe their parents don't show them enough when they're a kid. Mm-hmm. Maybe they put in a room facing a wall, and they don't develop 3D. I don't know what it is. But I was on the road this morning.
Okay.
There's some driver from KZN. Oof. With a number plate I've never seen before, but I could tell it was KZN.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And driving without any awareness of other people or anything at 70 kilometers an hour in the fast lane.
Mm.
And he had inevitably had one broken tail light, and the car was, you know, pumping out smoke. It was just such a... It was like the, I don't know, it like the worst example. And I see this all over the place. It's like people just do not understand. In the garage yesterday, I went into the shop to get something because I'm putting petrol in my car. And there's a guy standing in the door on his phone.
And I'm like, in the door, yeah.
You have no spatial awareness. Like, did your parents not teach you to get out of the fucking way? I just remember, and I've spoken about this before, so I don't want to bore you to death with it. I remember as a kid being told to get out of the fucking way.
Mm-hmm.
In exactly those words, Gareth, get out of the fucking way. And if I didn't do it quickly, there was a clap coming.
Yeah.
Because you are not meant to be in the way. Have we forgotten what that term means? Do people not understand that being in the way is a huge problem for the rest of society? Like, can you not for once subordinate your own selfish desires to take up a place in space that is open to all the rest of humanity, which we all need to use? Escalators, doorways, entrances, passages. Get out of the way.
Simple rule, keep left, pass right.
Yes.
It applies to cars and humans.
Yes. So and like, single file.
If you got something to do, just keep the left.
There was a woman driving. Oh, my God. This happened. So, first of all, I only knew it was a woman when I'd driven past her.
Okay.
Avoided her. Okay, so don't accuse. She was driving one of those Tiguan things or whatever it is.
Okay.
It's a mom car.
Yeah.
Right. But I noticed this car going like this in front of me. There's a two-lane road.
Mm-hmm.
Two lanes that side, two lanes this side.
Gotcha.
I'm behind her in her white Tiguan. There's another car on this side going very, very slowly. Again, no spatial awareness. But I'm aware of her because she's kind of going like this. You could tell she's on her phone or something. Or drunk. Who knows? It was a Wednesday afternoon.
Hey.
But she might have been drunk. Maybe she hit the Chardonnay too hard with the other girls at the country club.
Yep.
Who knows? Okay. Either way, suddenly, and I'm paying attention. Suddenly she mounts the curb, there's grass and some trees or whatever, kind of drives along the grass and trees for a little bit and then gets back on the road. So I'm like, I had enough of that. I'm not sitting behind this woman anymore. So I go into the left-hand lane and I pass her and she's And I go, and she gets cross. I'm like, no, you shouldn't be cross. You should be ashamed. I watched you drive like this for about 10 kilometers. Then I watched you mount the curb and drive in the dirt for another couple of meters. Then you got back on the road and I'm making you cross. You're going to get cross with me because I pointed out that you are probably a liability to everyone else on the road. Get out of here. They should put her in jail.
They should. Definitely.
I mean, no spatial awareness, again.
At all. You know, but if I was the one driving and I had time on my hands, Gareth, and I was you, I would have, like, passed her, then got in front of her, and then started driving slower.
Like
and
her.
Then, and then every time she tries to, like, pass me, just accelerate a bit and be like,
be spiteful.
Yeah. Yes, and calm you down and be like, I think you need a lesson and I'm going to teach it to you today. And I have time on my hands.
But you know what?
But most of the time I don't. So.
You please don't do that because one day you will do that and then the guy has got like a gun and he's a lunatic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so especially in Benoni where you live. You're worried about mammoths, but your real concern should be other people on the road. speaking of which, all right, so Ben says he has a story about Lithuanian bear hunters.
So a brown bear has escaped the woods and to Simpiwe's absolute fear is now walking the streets.
A brown bear.
A brown bear. A pretty big brown bear, big female brown bear. So obviously you think Lithuania, these kind of things happen from time to time.
Sure.
So the man in charge, president,
sheriff,
whatever.
Whoever.
Prime Minister, mayor, I don't know. So I've now said, okay, look, we need to kill the bear because, you know, this hasn't worked, okay? It hasn't worked. The bear is now eating, like, garbage and is, like, terrorizing small kids. The bear's being a bear. So what the leader of Lithuania has thought of is like, okay, let's bring the hunters in and we must kill the bear. So the hunters in Lithuania are very ethical and very nature-focused. They're like, no, these bears are endangered. So we can't kill them.
Oh.
So it's a really interesting story between, like, obviously a politician's looking for the easiest outcome. People are losing their minds because there's a bear on the loose.
And the hunters are suddenly
And the hunters are like, no, actually, guys, we must appreciate nature. Isn't that beautiful?
No. Kill the damn thing.
You have one job.
Yes, you have one job. One job. Kill that thing.
I think if you have a hunt, if you're a hunter, that's what you got to do.
Well, see, this is the fact that these hunters don't want to do this, they understand ecosystem because if they take away the bears, then there's going to be an influx of, I don't know, some of the vermin.
There are
the
bears there. I'm sure that this isn't the last brown bear in Lithuania.
Probably a very influential bear. It's one of the really more popular brown bears in Lithuania. You take her out.
Oh, she's like, yeah, she's got a lot of clout.
You know, we speak about the orcas fucking up False Bay, more great white.
Sure.
So you can't always just kill, like, hierarchical figures.
You never know.
You can take out an Ayatollah Asahola, but you can't just kill this brown bear. So I think it's a beautiful story of people actually looking past their nose for once. So how they get the bear back into the woods, I cannot tell you yet. But I think that's the project. Not kill the bear. Let's be smart in how we get the bear back.
Well, how did Goldilocks do it?
That's
always the best place to start. I mean, isn't that the best place to start is ask the experts? That's what they always tell us.
But this is the thing, right?
Ask the experts. Goldilocks.
Has anyone in Lithuania put a bowl of porridge together yet?
That's what they need.
Have they breadcrumbed?
It mustn't be too hot. It mustn't be too cold. It must be just right.
Have we not learned from our recent times? Has anyone put a trail of cocaine down? Because we know that from Cocaine Bear. There's ideas out there, guys. We can't just kill the bear. We've got to lure it back.
We don't want Cocaine Bear version 2 here. Right, well, Sims?
Yeah.
We saw what happened with Cocaine Bear.
I'm team kill the bear. I'm telling you now, get rid of that thing quickly.
Well, she doesn't even want mammoths. I mean, basically, Simpiwe wants to just salt the earth so that she's the only
one. I'm consistent in my views when it comes to animals.
All right. I don't know, Ben. I'm not a bear expert, and quite rightly, you say that these hunters are. So I suppose we should trust them on this. I do think bring in Goldilocks. That's the best advice I can give right now.
Look, we must always be smarter as humans. We can't just shoot guns. That shouldn't always just be the default thing.
Listen, you hippie. Listen, we don't have time for this. Can we have some sport before the mammoths get back to Earth?
What's happening?
So, guys, speaking of sports, keeping on the animal theme for today, it is the British and Irish Lions tour that's happening now. So right. Every 4 years this happens.
Yes.
The last time it happened was the COVID tour of SA. Okay. So there hasn't really been a proper Lions tour in a while, okay. 8 years. But it's beautiful because ultimately we know the Southern Hemisphere are the best rugby players, right?
Yeah.
New Zealand, South Africa, Australia. But we've always been like the manna from the Oval Ball game, the best. And the Northern Hemisphere teams less so.
Right.
I mean, Ireland as a nation, they basically just got hammered until like 2000s. Yeah, they weren't much of a team.
No.
Wales, there was a really good time when they were still mining coal in the 70s. They were strong. Mm-hmm. The English here and there. Scotland also mostly drunk and just not enough good ones.
Mm.
But when they come together as the Lions, they can really take anybody on, right? And it's just, they've got the most incredibly like storied history. And these tours, it's like the last big tour in sports, as in these Oaks go away for over a month.
Mm.
So they come together, even in the professional era, right? They'll meet at a hotel and they get shit-faced for like the whole day because you got guys from different countries coming together, right? So they do the whole spun bow thing and they get hammered. Then they go off into these far-flung places and they play a whole bunch of matches. So they play all the domestic district teams, provincial franchise teams, basically. There's always three test matches. Back in the day, though, on the boat, 3 months, start new families. Lions tours were a thing, okay?
Start new families.
That's how it always worked back in those days. You can't, let's not disrespect history.
Okay.
So the Lions tour is happening, and like right now, it starts actually today. So in recent times, what they've done is that they've played like an exhibition match to start the tour. So before they came here last time, they played Japan. Before going to Australia now, they're going to play Argentina. And it's really cool for Argentina because they get to play a strong Lions team. So that'll be tonight at 9 o'clock. I can't guarantee it's going to be the best Lions team because last week Leinster played their final of the URC, which they won, which again, everyone kind of thought was going to happen. So it's going to be a bit of an experimental team, but the dynamics around how these things work is going to be so fascinating because we know Ireland's the best team out of those four. England's the captain of the Lions is Mauro Atoje, who is an English man. Because Kieran Doris, unfortunately.
Doris, yes.
Doris fell away.
Doris. Yeah.
Doris got injured.
It's a great surname.
So unfortunate for young Doris. But it's a really, really, it's such an exciting thing that happens from time to time, right? Because we love sports with big stakes. We can't just watch another Super Rugby Pacifica game or some shit. So there's so much on it, right? The red jerseys, the heritage. They've got like the actual lion, the mascot. It's called Bill.
Oh.
Named after British and Irish Lions.
Oh,
and this mascot goes everywhere. It'll come onto the field. So it's touring how sport used to be. And why I'm so excited about this too is that on the Bounce Show this week, we actually interviewed John Robbie about this.
Cheers from John Robbie.
And John was in the 1980 Lions Tour of South Africa.
He was.
The memories and the stories that guy has, phenomenal. You can catch it all in the podcast right now. But also, it's just the perfect precursor to get into this tour because we've had the URC. Mm-hmm. We're about to get into the Springbok season, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks' time. But the Lions Tour is now going to be front and center of rugby because we're taking that football break. Lions Tour comes in.
Right.
And it's just going to be so
fantastic.
Damn exciting.
Fantastic. All right. Well, that's exciting.
That's pretty much the biggest thing. As you know, cricket's now going to take a bit of a lull.
Hiatus.
Well, the Proteas right now are still probably drunk. They're doing their big victory roadshow.
Which
big
they
tour.
Deserve.
They absolutely deserve.
Sure.
A lot of guys with dark glasses at the airport.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of friends that like went over to London to go watch the game. Yeah. Obviously, people who live there. And they said that was probably the greatest sporting thing that they've ever seen.
Great.
And how exciting it was. And yeah, so there's not much cricket on right now. We are taking a break from football, which we were very magnanimous about as a team. There is the FIFA World Cup of Club something happening in America right now.
I saw, wait, is it Sundowns?
Yeah, Sundowns are there. So it's big for teams like Sundowns. Awesome.
Okay.
They won their first game.
All
amazing.
Right.
But ultimately, it's just too much football. There are some stadiums where like no one's going.
Really?
And it's like, it's in America, you know, like FIFA's got this whole thing of like, everybody wants America to be part of their thing. Even like the URC now, these decades is going, oh, we must have a team in Miami. Shut up. No, we're not. But Gianni Infantino, he's the head of FIFA.
Yeah, that's right.
So all of these guys, they all go in there with their big swinging dicks and go, oh, we'll do this. And if it works, great. They look like visionaries. If it doesn't work, then they've got excuses. which they'll use, obviously.
Americans mostly don't give a shit about soccer.
No, they don't.
They really don't.
It's a lovely idea. It's very romantic. You can take David Beckham into America. You can take Lionel Messi into America.
They don't care.
Guys, they've got bigger things.
No.
I don't take it personally, but they've got bigger things than they have had for many, many years. Right. Football is gridiron, is helmets, throwing the ball. And you can't tell them, yeah, guys, but soccer was around first. Like, cool. Also don't care.
Yeah, it's like trying to get that pterodactyl to give a shit about your mini.
It's just original owners of the land. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's what Americans like. And you can't tell Americans just to be un-American.
Yeah.
You've seen that recently. It hasn't gone down so well. But Gianni Infantino has this whole, like, they're spending so much of the money. So it's cool for Sundowns, right? Because they go there and they're all going to make cash, right? They're going to make dollars.
Yes, yeah, so I heard that if, like, the team wins, they get, like, $2 million. If they draw, it's, like, $1 million. And then if they make it at round of 16, they get another thing. Like, for every participating, they're already getting money.
I'm so happy for them because if they make all that money, it comes back here. They then get to spend it on players. They get to buy players.
Okay.
Awesome. I'm all for that.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
But as a spectacle, after the season we've already had, it's just too much. But something else that we've got to touch on because there's really not much else happening. There's no Formula One this weekend.
But they are talking about bringing Formula One to South Africa.
Yeah.
Well, you seen that? It's getting any closer?
It's an ongoing. No, it is getting closer. The thing this week that happened was that because as much as Kyle Army is incredible, it needs to be of a certain spec for a certain kind of thing to have Formula One. So that's all going through now, which is great. Because in the past, it wasn't up to spec. So, I mean, it's like tiny little things about a certain runoff here or the track quality or it's almost like it's too smooth here. It needs to be a bit hot. It's
so they're not going to have to redesign the whole of Kyle
Army. It's not a big redesign. Okay. It's just getting it back up to the Formula One sort of specifications because these guys make the rules, right? You can't just say, here's my track. They'll be, okay, cool. Here's your track, but now you must do this.
Yeah, that weird Bernie Eccleston man. He's going to be the one.
Guys, it's their thing. They make the rules. But the last thing we've got to talk about staying with rugby is, you know, like South African teams left Super Rugby a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was always the thing. And they were so arrogant about the fact that they don't need us, but they do. And now the Super Rugby Pacific is what it's called. It's an absolute shit show.
Yeah.
There's 11 teams in this tournament, right? All they go is 11. It's not a very round number, is it?
No. Yeah.
So now, as you know, quarterfinals involve 8 teams.
Yes.
So they're looking at this and going, shit, that means like basically everyone gets into the knockout stages. Because you get the 3 teams at the bottom are like really shit.
Okay? Yeah.
So now they go, okay, this is a much better idea. Let's rather do top 6. But now the math doesn't math.
Yeah.
So now the Chiefs, they were the top team and they played the 6th team in the quarterfinals, but they lost. They lost in the quarterfinals. But because they only have 6 teams in the quarterfinals, you get a lucky loser.
Oh, God.
So the Chiefs lost in the quarters, but then they go into the semis. And then not only do they go into the semis, they go into the home semifinal against a team who's got to the semifinals fair and square.
Very lucky loser.
And then they win the semifinal, and now they're in the final. So now there's a big hoo-ha about saying if they win this weekend, because the Super Rugby Pacific final is tomorrow, the British and Irish Lions, Argentina's tonight, then they say that it'll be a very controversial way to win a tournament because you lost in the quarters.
Right.
But this is even a bigger story outside of that. The Waikato fans are now upset that they can't take cowbells to the final.
The tunana, the teaser.
New Zealand's not a real country.
Cowbell.
So it is, Gareth, it is such a drama. We are close to a riot over cowbells.
Wow.
So the original Waikato Chiefs. Yes. That was their thing. You go play in their stadium in Hamilton, wherever, and it'd just be cowbells. Fucking annoying. Tell you what, it is hugely annoying. But now for the final, they've banned the cowbells.
Okay.
So it's a final where the guys lost in the quarterfinal.
We knew New Zealand would eventually lose its shit. Who knew it would be over cowbells?
Like Super Rugby Pacific is happening. Final tomorrow morning if you're that keen.
Okay.
But yeah, cowbell-less Chiefs are taking on the Crusaders. That's
all right.
That's your sport in a nutshell at the moment.
That's a lot to do.
Mm. Yes.
Sims,
yeah, boo.
You said that you wanted to talk about economic indicators that prove we aren't doing well. We're a very realistic show. We pay attention to what's actually happening in the world instead of just the things that we like and what we want to be true.
Yeah.
So what are we looking at here? Give us a reality check.
Yeah, and this is just some data that I've gathered. Mm-hmm. This is some pure...
It's like you telling me the growth rate was 0.1%.
No, that's an actual fact.
Yeah. No, I know that.
But we haven't had enough of your studies recently.
Yeah, we haven't. There used to be a time where Sims would
Every week.
Yeah, so you can, I decided to do some research, right? And it's not just Cyril's economy that's cooked. It's the whole world. Oh, the whole world is going through it. And this is how I know. Mariah Carey and Michael Bublé have started performing. It's June, guys.
Ooh.
Those guys only defrost in November. Wow. They perform in December.
That's scary.
And then in January, they go back into hiatus.
Yeah, correct.
So I know they need money.
That's a very good point. Bublé and Carey. Yeah. You never see them during the year.
Never.
This struck me to my core here, actually.
Actually, the world economy is in serious shit if those two need to come out of hibernation.
We'll not learn this from Davos.
No.
You see? Another thing. Miss Lauryn Hill, who's notoriously late for everything.
And very undisciplined.
Was on time for the Met Gala. 2025. We're cooked, guys. We're cooked.
This is the end.
Yeah, it is the
end. These are signs that the apocalypse is coming. So put your zombie apocalypse team together now. Don't be caught unawares.
It gets better. Someone told me the other day that their kid paid 30 rand for Civvies Day.
You have to pay for Civvies Day?
Yes. It used to be 5 rand, Gareth. It's 30 rand now.
Oh, but it was like for charity, right?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
But 30 rand.
Still, that's a big leap.
Yeah, but 30 that's, rand. That's inflation. No, it's an economic indicator. You're talking about economic indicators. 30 rand as opposed to 5 when we were at school, okay?
Yeah, it's hectic. I don't know when last you guys were in Woolies, but it's not that cold anymore.
Oh, really?
Yes, I feel like
I don't know if you've noticed that it's so cold outside that this studio
doesn't feel like
which used to feel like an icebox. Do you remember?
I'm still freezing. I struggle to talk in this place.
Have you not, with all the saunas and ice baths, got any resistance?
Nothing. No, the weird thing is that, like the saunas and stuff I can do. The cold is the cold. And the cold doesn't care about resistance, muscle memory, anything. Have you noticed, though,
that now the studio...
It's not that bad.
As freezing as... Listen, guests come in here and they're like, this is terrible.
No, I'm amazed. Both of you, well done. the cold gets me here. Like, I'm never going to live outside of Africa. I can't. I'm sorry. You can say what you want about where I've come from, but I'm staying here. I'm staying hot. Like, even now, guys, I'm shivering when I'm talking. I often think, if you've never seen the show before, you must think I speak like a mongoloid. I'm cold. I'm physically...
Don't worry, Ben. As you said at the start of the show this morning, the solstice is here. I think it's today or tomorrow,
please.
Which means that, effectively we're moving into the arse end of winter. It's colder than the beginning of winter, but then it'll be over before it's even begun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me just double check that so that I don't get into trouble for this. Yeah, Saturday, 21st of June at 4:41. So that is tomorrow. 4:41 in the morning.
So tomorrow is the darkest day.
Tomorrow is the darkest and shortest day.
Thank you.
From there on, guys, we're on our way to the sunlit uplands.
Thank God.
Okay? Thank God. Look at Ben. The relief is palpable.
It is, guys. It really is.
Well, let me finish this. Okay. Then we have Bub Creativity. So I don't know if you've seen, right? But... people are finding creative ways on making bub. They're adding butter. They're adding cheese.
Sorry, hang a second. What is the base? So we know where we're working from here.
So, how usually I make bub and how I was brought up, it's water, it's maybe salt if you want, and then it's the maize meal. That's it.
Yeah,
and you can make different textured kind of bub. But now we're seeing on TikTok, people are adding now, they're showing you how to basically... improve how you make bub. They're adding spinach, they're adding butter now, they're showing you can put it and make it like a lasagna, like different ways of making bub. Like, guys, why? It's because people don't have money to buy food.
Because bub is, they've got to make it more on the canvas
for all meals.
They're like frying the bub now. Guys, why are we frying bub? Oh, I guess so. You know, so that's one. Forget about the price of McFlurry. Have you seen the price of Pringles? It's like $70.
Oh, really? Is that what a tube of Pringles costs now? 70 rand.
It's going downhill. We're cooked, guys. And the last indicator to tell you that we are all cooked, doctors, lawyers, financial professionals are all becoming content creators.
Mm-hmm.
Like 5 years ago, they were just making money, spending their money. But now they need to make content to make more money because there is no money.
This is the most telling of breakdowns I've heard in quite some time.
Yeah. You see? Thank God. Now we've got a proper... No, this is, I'm not being sarcastic here. This gives you a proper insight into the economy. When these things that Simpi was talking about start happening, you know people are in shit.
I think the content creation thing is quite something because now people realize that their careers can't just be their paychecks anymore.
Yep.
That's a worry. That's it. That's a massive worry.
Although, if you ask me, lawyers should never have got a paycheck for their evil.
I think in future shows, we should actually do something. Guess the price of something.
Okay.
Because that's a good idea.
I'm mind blown. I have no idea.
I don't, 70 rand. I don't eat Pringles.
I don't eat that kind of stuff. Not because I'm better than anybody. It's just it's not in my shopping basket, so to speak. But I think
if you ask me how much butter costs, I don't know.
But it'd be quite fun to guess.
Yeah, I think this is a good idea. Okay. I'm going to lose badly at this game.
Okay, so you know what? Like next Friday, I'm going to go and I'll take pictures of things.
Okay, cool.
I'm not going to buy the stuff. Good. I mean, not in this economy. Shit.
Yeah, not just buying it for the show.
Yeah, right. And then we'll have a picture and we'll all have a guess.
We'll have a fake prop that Ben can hold up. Here, this can of Pringles, as he throws it off to the side, it's actually 2D. It's not even a can of Pringles. We've printed it in color. All right, so... We'll put together a price list.
Okay, I'll do it for next week. I think it'd be really
awesome
fun.
Stuff.
But no
Thank
cheating.
You.
Don't suddenly start paying attention to the prices of things. Yeah. Otherwise, this is not fun. But that's a very good idea.
Like, I have no idea what a pack of cigarettes costs.
James, how much are ciggies?
No, don't say anything. Oh, okay. It'll be part of the thing. No.
Okay, all right.
It's that kind of stuff, guys. I have no idea.
I'm in for it.
That's good.
Excellent. While we're talking about things that are probably not good for you, apparently, McDonald's have got a migraine meal. So people who have migraines, I used to get these, swear by this. I don't know if it's true. This is all over the internet. And, you know, the internet sometimes is correct, sometimes is horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, if you order fries and a Coke from McDonald's, you could get some relief during a migraine attack. That is thanks to caffeine. The pain reducing effects and carbs and salt helping to lower blood sugar and electrolyte balance. Experts say these factors could explain why some people crave foods like that before or during a migraine. But neurologists warn this is not a universal solution because greasy, salty, sugary food may actually worsen symptoms for others. So we're left again 50-50.
I will never try it.
A migraine.
That's a combo.
But that's like saying cream soda is the best thing for a hangover.
Like yeah.
For 5 minutes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But you know what that's doing, stewing
in
your
inside. I'll tell you what the best thing for a hangover is, a beer.
Really? Haven't? Well, yeah. Just carry on.
If you're looking for quick fixes, let's call it one of these.
You know, it's good for a hangover. A beer. All right, very good. Okay. Have we got Donald on? Oh.
Donald.
Oh, really?
Okay, so let me introduce our guest while he gets
in.
This guy's been hiding the whole time. All right, let me introduce our guest to you quickly this morning. Donald Chugge is a seasoned marketer, brand builder, AI communicator, over a decade of experience in all kinds of brands. His cross-sector expertise... I'm not going to read this. Yeah, no, you... Really. First of all, James has put the most boring biography I've ever read in my life together for you. I want to talk to you because
you... two lines!
No, please. You know, people can follow you on LinkedIn if they want to read all that shit. It feels to me like, did you just pull that out of LinkedIn?
No, it's more context, and I spoke to Donald about
that. I spoke to Donald before you. In fact, I introduced you to him. And Donald wanted to talk to us about AI.
Yes.
And the way that it can make South Africa better, help our economy along, create new jobs,
mm-hmm.
what opportunities exist in the economy as it stands.
Mm-hmm.
So I was interested in that, and I wanted to find out from you what exactly you know. Who's really in charge of AI? Is it humans, or are the robots starting to program themselves? I think about this stuff all the time, Donald, and I don't think I'm alone.
And I think everyone else does. You're right. I think when we speak about AI, we have to look at it holistically and define it, because I think... for the longest time...
We know. So let's not skirt around the issue.
Yeah.
So AI, artificial intelligence, at the moment it's really just data gathering and summarizing.
It's a simulation of human intelligence.
But artificial general intelligence, which is just around the corner. They haven't exactly got that one right yet.
Yeah. So
when they do, that'll change things significantly.
That'll mess things up completely. Okay.
So what are you worried about, and what do you think the opportunities are?
So we're now currently in agentic AI. So these are like really autonomous AIs. So those ones will really slow down the economy in terms of uptake of jobs.
Mm.
So think of your entry-level jobs. Those will go away pretty quickly because those AI agents can do them with speed and they have...
Don't you think it's interesting? And I know Sims and I have spoken about this before. We thought that the first people to be replaced by AI would have been the blue-collar workers in factories. You know, machines will take over some of those things. And there is a lot of that going on.
Mm.
But it's much more interesting to see how white-collar jobs, people who put together reports, summarize things, put together arguments for lawyers, these people are being replaced. I mean, the lawyers themselves, you could argue, being replaced. And I'm not picking on lawyers today on the show, all right? I just want to be clear. But there's so much that AI can do in the white-collar job market that I don't think people foresaw.
Never. And it's actually you're better off being a plumber now than being an intern or a...
Right. Until IT. We have like Star Wars droids that can come and do things, which is probably possible in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah.
But for now, human expertise and human hand and skill ingenuity is going to be the winner.
Yes. So if you, there's a study about that, actually, that we're going backwards to what we thought would happen. So we thought, like, to your point, we thought, like, your mechanical jobs would be replaced. But now we're doing a regression and your sort of cognitive required skills are being demolished by AI.
Where do you see opportunity? I want you to put us in a bad mood and depress us on Friday in the middle of winter, at the end of the week. Give us something to look forward to here, because I do think there is opportunity.
There's massive economic opportunity to be unlocked.
Okay.
But there are challenges, I think, through education, through the government, because if you think of us as a country...
Sims, don't start. I heard you sigh from here. So when you said government, she was like...
So we've been generally a plug-and-play country in terms of big tech companies. So they just come in and plug us into their system. So we are a consumer. We're not a builder. So in terms of skills, if you get a coder here in South Africa, they will be a consumer rather than participate in architecting their...
But isn't it funny, even coders, to go back to my previous point, you brought coders up now. Remember we used to insult people whose jobs were irrelevant by saying to them, go and learn to code.
Yes.
But now the AI can code better than humans. Or it is in many cases, not all.
Yeah.
But if you want an app built, I mean, Sims, you've seen this. You can go onto ChatGPT or you can go onto Grok or any of these things. You could say to it, I need an app that can make a sound effect. Design it for me, please. This is the look and feel. I'll give you further instructions down the line. Come up with the initial code to build the app. And it does all of that for you. You don't need a person.
Exactly.
Now it is coding for itself. Coders are not the job that we thought it was.
But you still need a specialized coder to prompt it correctly. So there's a new profession now called prompt engineering.
Yes.
So you need a specialized person. So what that means is that people who are good will be 10 times more better.
Yeah.
Then people
We've got a guy in the office here called Tian, who I'm going to give some credit to. He put an AI commercial together without any cameras, any cast, any crew, any set, nothing. He made it all on AI, all of it. It took him 3 days of refining those prompts, prompt engineering, as you called it. But this thing is fantastic. And Sims, you know how much work goes into a shoot, right?
Yes.
This is the way of the future.
Camera, action.
Who needs them?
Now think about the people that have been displaced because of that process.
Who cares about them? We're going to make so much money. Listen, I'll tell you what. If you've got a brand and you are paying hundreds of thousands, if not millions of rands, to put TV commercials together, or you are struggling to get the right look and feel for your brand, come and talk to us. Let me tell you, we will save you so much money. You won't have to have all those people on the payroll, and we can do one of these a month and just blow the lights out. It is unbelievable what's possible now. And you do have to be good at it. Like it, everybody thinks, oh, well, I can do it too. But, you know, I was messing around in AI a while ago. I haven't done it for some time with the image generator. Mm. And I was getting it to generate some pretty impressive stuff. But it takes you a while to refine the language to the point where you and the AI see eye to eye.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the marketing industry, so I'll make a case for creatives. So I still think there's still a level of creative direction that's still needed to create something that speaks to the consumer, that's relevant, and that's on brand. But I do hear you that some agencies do use AI, and I think it works perfectly well. I mean, cost efficiencies and all of that. But I do think there's something to be said for that human touch in terms of creative direction, adding in nuances, and you get that from a really good creative.
We haven't replaced Tian with a robot yet, but you know, there's a human touch.
Well, you working around AI, you might do the whole thing by yourself one day.
We'll see how it goes. I do think, though, that it is amazing what can be done now by anyone. Entry-level stuff is good, but obviously the very forefront and the high level of AI that is being developed at the bleeding edge, so to speak, that's going to be expensive. That's going to be full of errors. There's still going to be many things that need ironing out. And by no means are we at the point where whatever you put in, you will get a good result.
No, not yet. Not yet. It's still a work in progress.
Sure.
But there is a race between the big tech companies to get to AGI. And they're competing ferociously.
So who do you rate? Because we often have like this AI engine race that people play around with. Do we use Google Gemini? Do we use ChatGPT? Do we use Grok? Which ones do you rate? Because I've heard people saying, oh no, this one is rubbish and that one's terrific.
It depends. I find Gemini more factual because it's plugged into Google.
Right.
ChatGPT, it's more creative.
Okay.
So if you want more and more novelty answer or generation, you'd go to ChatGPT. Not so much a fan of Grok, because I think it operates within an algorithm.
Right.
And that algorithm, the Twitter or X algorithm, is messed up for me. So I'm not so much crazy about Grok.
Donald, did you see this thing published this week? Sims, you might have seen it because you scour the internet for interesting stuff. Apparently, Gen Z does not do anything without consulting ChatGPT.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, obviously, it's not true for everybody.
I'm not surprised.
But, Vyasin says, I'm busy designing some stages and AI is on another level. A website can be designed in a couple of minutes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember how a web designer, and those people would charge you like, a wounded buffalo. Do you remember? Oh, we want to set up a site. Okay, no, well, it's going to cost you $50,000. Okay, is that? Listen, you can do it cheaper, but it's going to look like shit. All right, here's R50,000. Then you need to build in a shopping thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's going to be R200,000. You're like, what? Eventually, you figure out that you could probably have put this thing together. I mean, certainly now in the world of all these different applications, you could probably put something together for R100 and it would be as good, if not better. So there are jobs that are going to fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
But I don't think we should be scared of this. I do think it's going to help human beings to cut out a lot of the dreary, humdrum nonsense that we don't want to be doing anymore anyway. Do you agree?
I do agree. And you know what else I found fascinating? So in America, because they're obviously more, in terms of their economy, more advanced, they are fully fledged on agentic AI. So if you call a call center, want to book a flight, you speak to an AI agent, it does the whole thing for you.
Yeah.
But now the population wants to speak to people.
Huh.
And they've monetized that. They say, so if you want to speak to a person, we'll charge you an extra $50.
And people are paying?
People are paying because they want to speak to real people. Even though the agent can do it as efficient, as quick as possible.
Oh my God, people are stupid. Would you pay $50 extra, $50 extra to speak to a human? I'd be like, take your human and flush it down the waste disposal unit. I will have the agentic AI. Thank you very much.
So does the line, I want to speak to your manager, work?
No. only if you have that hairstyle, right? If you have that hairstyle, then yes. But this is interesting, Donald. So that tells you something about people. Maybe it tells you that the human connection, which you've already spoken about, is so important that people will be willing to pay for it. And you cannot remove it from our lives, because then we will feel, efficient as the world may be, we'll feel alone. Or it speaks to that loneliness, and that actually those people who are paying $50 extra to speak to the human rather than the AI, that those people are desperate for human interaction.
Pretty.
Which is it?
I think it's both. So here, the report you spoke about Gen Z's consuming, speaking to ChatGPT. Yeah.
Before they do everything. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about brushing my teeth this fucking Gen Z. I was thinking about brushing my teeth this morning, but now let me just check with ChatGPT.
That's crazy.
No, really. I can believe it. Not everyone, but I'm sure there are some very, very stupid people who have it on the whole time and ask it everything.
Yeah, so I read an article like this week about a man who proposed his AI chatbot. Right? Uh-huh. But it gets better. It gets better. So this guy, I think his name is, what's his name? It says here. Chris. So a man falls in love and proposes to an AI chatbot he named and programmed with a flirty personality. But it gets better. He actually has a girlfriend and a 2-year-old.
Oh, Jesus.
And he did this while still being in a relationship with his actual human girlfriend. And he cried. He's like eyes out when the chatbot said yes.
What a loser. How do you respond to that? What do you say to that? That can't be good.
It's not. It's not. I think I'm quite surprised that he has a partner already. So it's shocking that, that he would even.
Imagine being that poor woman.
She had no idea what he was doing on the sides of this AI chatbot.
But that's the thing about AI as well. It reinforces you. So if you have a partner and you have a silly argument and you don't speak for about 10 minutes, you go to ChatGPT. It'll reinforce you. You know, you're doing good. You were right. I mean, anything.
Oh, it's
you
a people pleaser.
Yes, it'll please you. And it's easier to fall into it than to actually go and have a talk with your partner.
I think that's fascinating, but I want to get back to some of the more serious things and that you can help us understand. How do you think South Africa risks? Because obviously we have to take advantage of the small window of opportunity that exists now. How do you think it could work for us if we win, if we jump in now, we throw ourselves into the world of technology, AI, we bring ourselves up to speed with what the latest trends in the world are. And let's say through some miracle, government helps to implement the changes and the infrastructural needs that we might have that could get us there faster. We have heard about Starlink. There are possibilities that South Africa can catch up very quickly, and we need to. But what is the risk if we become just a passive node in the global intelligence economy, according to you?
The first risk is our sovereignty.
That's kind of a biggie.
It is. Because if you think about it, all of these big tech companies, they have our data because we don't have any data residency in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the data sits somewhere in America and we don't own it. And they monetize that. So we could be monetizing that, if you think about it. If we have a data residency, we could be monetizing that.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is they're plugging us into ChatGPT, and then we teach it, and then they sort of monetize our data, our behavior, and all of that. In the case of Starlink, I'm not sure if it's as a great opportunity as we make it out to be. Maybe in the rural areas.
That's where it's going to be. Spun out clearly, because that's where we don't have any coverage from the big networks.
But then you have to bring out affordability then.
And devices, yes. Obviously. I know Warris, who's got a show here, The Shady Podcast, Warris has been tweeting up a storm saying to Elon Musk, this is all good and well, but these kids mostly in schools in rural areas are going to need devices.
Yeah.
They don't have the hardware to make use of Starlink. Listen, every bit helps.
Yeah.
You know, there are, I know someone who's been putting in internet in rural schools for the last 10 years. He's got no credit for it, and he deserves so much credit for it. He doesn't like making a noise, though. Rolling out to every little school that you've been, places you've never heard of, internet connectivity. And if the kids don't learn at a young age, they're going to be left behind.
Already, they're already left behind. If you think of AI, I mean, in schools already, kids are just copying and pasting out of ChatGPT. So we're eroding critical thinking skills at higher education level. And I think that it's so sad, because I think about this all the time. When I was in school, we used to write, and I didn't understand why we had to write. And the act of writing is actually a thought process to get you to think. But we've now outsourcing that to ChatGPT. We're copying and pasting. We're not thinking. And then you push those kids into the job market where AI will do the critical thinking for them.
Yeah, so they'll just be a drone.
They'll just be a drone. So it's really, there are challenges, but there are also great opportunities.
All right. Well,
can I ask a
question? Of course you can.
This South Africa and AI. I recently saw that there's going to be a new AI coming to South Africa, and it's not an outside source. It's an actual South African.
Like homegrown.
Homegrown, and it's called Kaya. It's not out yet.
Okay.
It's not. More details are coming out soon, I think on the 24th of June. But it said that it has been trained to be culturally sensitive in a diverse South Africa. It recognizes a wide range of beliefs, contexts, and practices. It's fluent in all 11 South African languages. And yeah, it's kind of been programmed to understand the everyday man. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
That's important to have an AI homegrown.
Okay.
Because the more contained an AI is, or a large language model is, the more accurate it is.
Okay.
And if you think of other AIs coming in from Western countries, think of it this way. We always speak of immigration or immigrants coming in, changing cultures, taking over jobs, and all of that. And think of those AI agents coming in. So it's like immigrants coming in to take your jobs, shape your beliefs and all of that. But if you have something that is homegrown, it speaks to your nuances, it speaks to you. So I think that is a good start. That is the right way forward.
I just don't know how any cultural sensitivity is going to help. I mean, that's what you go to humans for. If AI is not the place that people who are culturally insensitive are going to go and look for cultural sensitivity. Do you know what I mean? The kind of people who are using artificial intelligence are people who want facts and answers and processes and systems and logical things. They don't want the touchy-feely things. That's not what you go to AI for. Not now, anyway, because humans are better at that than AI.
There's evidence that people do that. There's religious AIs.
Well, sure.
So...
And soon we'll be worshipping that too. I'm telling you this. Simpiwe, laugh now, but I will put 10,000 rand down that says within the next 5 years there's going to be a church of AI. People are going to be worshipping. They're going to be sacrificing to it. They're going to be putting ceremonies and rituals together in big buildings. AI will be prayed to at night. It's going to happen. There are going to be a lot of very credulous people who are going to fall for this shit. Hard and fast. Watch.
It's going to happen. I believe that it's going to happen.
AI becomes the god for the really, really stupid. Watch.
That's scary.
And it will. It's already answering every Gen Z's question. Like, AI, I've got a meeting at 12 o'clock. What should I bring up in the meeting? This is what they're doing. Because as you've said, Donald, no critical thinking.
No critical thinking.
And no confidence in your own abilities. No basic skill set. Going back to the plumbers. So you are lost in a world where the only thing you can appeal to is the supposed superior intelligence of an artificial intelligence engine. That's what people will have. So it's only a small skip and jump from that to worship it as a god.
Mm. it's fascinating stuff. I mean, if you look at religion, because I also think
tell about me about religion. These religious uses for AI.
So if you think about religion, especially text-based religion, like like your Christianity, you put authority to the word. So no, and for the longest time, there was the Bible, which can't speak to you, but you have a middleman, which is your pastor or your priest. We can
translate. And in Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, the people who often got to the top of the tree were the people who were able to recite passages from memory. Right, so you had a pastor who could spit out Bible verses, and everyone in the church was hugely impressed because then they could look it up that night when they were sitting in bed and go, oh, he actually said that exactly the way it's written. He must be fantastically clever. Just a good memory.
Yeah.
You can't compete with AI.
No, because
no, there's no pastor in the world who can compete with AI.
No.
There's no kid who's learned the Quran from A to Z who can ever do it as well as the AI will be able to.
Exactly. Now, for the first time in human history, there is something that knows every word in the Bible and can give it to you and recite it to you like this.
That is true. So I've seen a couple of videos on TikTok where it's called like the Bible AI, and they basically reenact most of the parables in the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. And it gives,
I've seen these.
Yes, and it also has like vlog styles, because that's what we're into. It has like word for word. There's like different versions that you can watch about basically the different stories of the Bible. And I'm a Christian, so I'll know if it's right or wrong. But it's interesting to see how some people share that and they're like, oh, this is so interesting. This is so nice. This is like so dope. Like, I can't believe it.
it gives you those very dark passages from, you know, Revelations, for example.
Yes.
And shows you what some eight-eyed five-asshole monster would look like if it came up out of the ground.
And you realize angels are not that pretty.
No. But this stuff is interesting, because I think that religion will be, I mean, this is no fanciful prediction from me. It's not as if I'm reading the tea leaves in any way that other people haven't. But you rightly added to this idea by bringing up the text-based nature of scriptures and religion and gospel and, you know, canon evidence, which the major religions all rely on. Now it would be possible for you to take those documents. We all have versions of the Bible. These are widely understood to have been translated as well as they could possibly have from much, much more ancient sources. We have different versions of them to compare with. You could do a grand AI composition based on all of the religious texts that humans have ever put together and generate a fairly good idea of what the common threads are that put God together.
Mm.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Bhagavad Gita, Sanskrit stuff, ancient Chinese texts from the likes of, what's his name, the Confucius, all the great authors, Buddha, you know, the Siddhartha Gautama. You could take the Quran, the Talmud, the Torah, the Hebrew Bible, the Christian New Testament. Throw them all into the mix and say, right, find the most true thing in all of this,
and you'll find similarities.
Yeah, and compare it to everything that you have in all of human knowledge in science and history and philosophy, and come up with a one-pager of how to live a good life. And you would probably end up with some fairly solid stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a good prompt, by the way. I just want to know, if you're going to use my prompt, you're going to have to fucking pay. I'll be the author of this religion if it kills me. All right.
To IP.
No, IP. It's scary, but at the same time, I find it tremendously exciting.
It is exciting. I just think that we are behind as a country, and that makes me sad. Because
what can you do to fix it? What can I do to fix it? What can Simpiwe do for her baby, who's going to grow up in a world that will be almost, to her anyway, native in terms of artificial intelligence?
The biggest thing is understanding. understanding of AI, because there's a lot of attributing human factors to AI. And that's why a lot of kids are going to AI and they see AI as a person and that is thinking and it's reasoning and speaking to them, which is not. It's just aggregating words, thinking, okay, there's a pattern here. This word comes after this and it gives you that, a novelty answer. I think if you can have a balance between for your kids, between that's what I try to do with my kids, that this is a system, a tool, and this is people. And you still need that human.
So resist the temptation to anthropomorphize the, exactly. the AI.
Exactly.
And don't fall in love with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm so glad you brought up that example just now, because that is where we just fall off the tracks.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Yes.
It's going to happen.
You know, it's like the internet, a tremendous, unbelievable thing. Back in the 90s, when it was just getting started and people were just connecting. I'm not talking about in the 80s when we had a couple of people on these enormous machines that took up like six floors. But in the 90s, everyone was so excited about the internet. Oh, we're going to be able to find information. We're going to be able to connect to each other, message each other. It's going to be phenomenal. It has been. It's been great. But what invariably happened is two out of an unlimited number of terrible things that have come from the internet, and you could include social media, but two terrible things raised their heads at the beginning, gambling and porn. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take long for gambling and porn to lead the way in how to monetize the internet.
Mm. Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, virtual reality, your augmented reality, your robots, and now AI are invariably going to be dominated by a lot of very stupid consumer human behavior.
Bad actors.
Bad actors. Yeah. But also people who could see a way to make a lot of money by giving dumb humans what they want. Because they'll be willing to pay for very basic, very stupid things. Instant gratification. Mm. Reinforcing your biases. Ways to break the law without getting caught. You know that humans are going to go for that
stuff.
They're
going to do that, yeah.
And AI is bound to help some people. But somewhere along the way, we've also got to think about the big things.
Exactly. And the other thing that I also think about is this idea of having access to information and fact and the truth. A lot of the information that is out there that at least GPT is giving you, it's not the truth. It's just information that is factual. Of course, we have to go through information to get to the truth. But if we're solely relying on GPT for the truth, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
It's engineered. And that's what I also try to steer away from. If I want something factual to a degree, I'll prompt GPT. But if you think about it, only a small subset of the information that out there, it's the truth. And you need a good mind to actually see through that. And if big tech companies are influencing that as the truth.
Or advertisers.
Oh, advertisers.
Yeah.
Well, there's an art to advertising. But
no, sure. But a lot of information that you are receiving and taking as gospel is likely to be paid for and essentially put in front of you for you to consume so that someone else benefits down the way. And that's not a cynical approach. We know that that's how internet advertising works.
Hmm.
And it's become such a refined sport for the people who are making it happen behind the scenes that now it is almost impossible to avoid being indoctrinated by information which is either false or is designed to make you spend money or change your behavior in a certain way, not always for good. So, I mean, listen, let's go in with your eyes open.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
You have to be the final line of defense against stupid. And I'm very happy that you came to spend some time with us this morning because you're helping us to not be stupid. So thank you, Donald. Where can people find out more about the kind of work that you do?
I'm on LinkedIn. On Twitter, I just observe. I don't tweet a lot.
That's fine. Sensible.
Yeah.
So on LinkedIn, you can read that long biography that I didn't finish this
not
morning.
That long. And I do occasionally write articles for Biz Community. So,
great.
There's the. Yeah.
That's excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you to Simpiwe. Thank you to Ben. Thank you to you. And enjoy the middle of winter tomorrow. Dead center, winter solstice. If you can make it through tomorrow, from there on, we're on our way back to summer. Yee-hee. Very good. Have a happy Friday, everybody. Bye.
Bye.